The year, and we're reading in the book of Exodus, brand new book. Last week, the message was entitled Destiny Fulfilled, and the exhortation to the congregation was that our destiny is about to be fulfilled as well. So, this begins the book of Exodus, and in my mind, as I prepared for this week, the Lord said, but you're beginning your Exodus too. But you're all beginning your Exodus also. So, what do we do when we begin our Exodus? I have a few things that are valuable to know. This week's Torah reading, we begin the book of Exodus. In Hebrew, that book is called Shemot, which literally means the names, the plural of Shem, which means names. This second book in the Torah has 40 chapters. And we practiced last week how many chapters are there in Genesis? 50. Okay, with four events and four people. Okay, so this is 40 chapters, so 50 and 40 is 90. That actually represents almost half of all the books. Like every book in Hebrew, which is like the Middle East has done things forever, okay, the name of the book is taken from the first phrase in the book. Okay, so whatever the first phrase is, but in language we have like seven or eight different categories of things, but the important categories are verbs and nouns. Okay, adjectives modify nouns and verbs, and adverbs modify verbs, and you know, and pronouns are just short for individuals, etc. But the meat of the message is usually in a noun or a verb. In the United States, it would be the noun. In the Middle East, it would be the verb. So there'll be a preference to choose a verb, okay, for the first name of the book. So in the first phrase, the first verb becomes the name, or the first noun becomes a name if the phrase is too long. So this book opens in Hebrew with the words va'ele shemot, okay? Va means and, ele means these, and these is not a noun or verb. So the first thing that appears is shemot, which is a name. It's an actual noun, and it means literally the names, okay? And this translates, and these are the names. So even in English, and is common all the time. If you name something and, it'll be lots of things named and. And these, well, the lots of things are these. So the names, so the R is everywhere in the language. So the first unique thing in this phrase is the word names. In ancient Hebrew, in the times of after Moses, this book was called Sefer Yetziat Mitzrayim, which means the book of the departure from Egypt. As you notice, this name, Sefer Yetziat Mitzrayim, expresses the theme of the book. And the theme of the book is the coming out of Egypt, the Exodus from Egypt. That was the title that was chosen by the Jews of Alexandria when in the year 300, they sought to translate the Hebrew scriptures to Greek so that the empire could read the word. Okay, that was written, was called the Septuagint, or the LXX. Okay, when they got to choose a title for the book, okay, rather than using the idea of the first name, okay, or the first verb, they gave it the name, which is more to the mindset of the Greek culture at the time, Exodus Egyptu, which means the Exodus from Egypt. And that was shortened then just to Exodus. When the Latin Vulgate version, the first translation from besides Hebrew, first translation to the first language was the language of the Roman Empire, which was Latin. So the first translation of the Bible to Latin was called the Latin Vulgate Bible. And in the Latin Vulgate, including just about every Bible from that point on, the book is called Exodus. Okay? The book of Exodus begins the account of probably the most famous story of all human history. The story of the departure of the children of Egypt from Egypt. The children of Israel are going to leave Egypt. Now, when we left, Joseph was still alive. And now when the story picks up 400 years later, our country's just a little over 200 years old. Okay, so it's double this. So how much do we remember? How much do you and I remember about the pilgrims? How much do you and I remember anything that happened 200 years ago, much less 400 years ago? Okay? Time will tell. But in my opinion, January 2026 is actually also the beginning of our exodus. What do you mean by that? The Lord has in mind a revival that he wants to bring through to the world. And that revival is already beginning in places. Okay? I believe it's beginning here as well. I sense it in my bones, in my spirit, in the messages and the inspirations and things that are happening, that we're back to an age, a way that it's never been. Either we adapt to what he wants or we wither away. I believe that we are trying with all our heart to adapt to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. As it was in the beginning, it shall be at the end, Yeshua said. At the beginning of the time of post-Yeshua is recorded for us in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts actually tells the story of those first disciples and how they ended up in Rome and etc. That it's not a one-day thing. It's a many, many years, which details the journeys of Paul and the journeys of the apostles. So the book in Spanish is called the Acts of the Apostles. Okay, Los Hechos de los Apóstoles. Okay, so the things that they did. What's interesting about the book of Acts, it was written by the same guy who wrote the book of Luke. Luke. He was the outside of Paul, the Apostle Paul. Luke is the most educated person in terms of education. He was an actual doctor. His family is Israeli, but they lived north of Israel, between what's called today Lebanon and Turkey, in that space. It's like the Puerto Ricans that live in the United States. Puerto Ricans that live in the United States, they don't say they're from the United States. They say they are from Puerto Rico, even if they were born here. If you were asked my daughter, what nationality are you? I think she would tell you, I'm Puerto Rican. You go, well, you were born in Puerto Rico? He said, no, I was born in Gainesville, Florida. I was born in Alachua General Hospital, and they used to be here. Okay? And so, yes, she was born here, but the inside is Puerto Rican. Many people keep that. It's something that people from a particular place keep it. Puerto Ricans are in an island. They can't easily leave the island unless by boat. So there are people there, all my ancestors and my father's fathers and mothers and all those things, and both my parents were born in Puerto Rico. They're of Spaniard descent. And maybe it's sometimes you say, well, we're from, kind of, we came from Spain. But we don't say we came from Spain. We say we came from Puerto Rico. That used to be kind of the thing it was in the United States, not that way hardly anymore at all. And especially not in Florida, because Florida was not part of the Union. Florida was part of Spain. And actually, it was the history of Florida precedes the history of the United States. So they will tell you that, you know, oh, well, the Jews came and they went in Ellis Island and that kind of thing. And that's great. That's true. But if you actually do the research, and Florida actually puts out videos on this, the first colony of Jewish people was in St. Augustine. It's named after a Catholic, you know, a Catholic saint. But if you look at the, even when you go to St. Augustine and they talk about the city and all that, they tell you, you know, about its Jewish heritage. The Jews were a big part of St. Augustine. Big part of St. Augustine. And so, in fact, Jews were a big part of the state of Florida. Found Jewish people were found all over. This is before they were part of the rest of the United States. We were adopted, okay? Florida was adopted into Spain. It's the name of the state is Florida, which means flowery, okay? It's a Spanish word. Many of the cities in Florida are named like Boca Raton, okay? And many others, Tampa, etc. All those cities have Spanish names. The only other place that has Spanish names is New Mexico. Arizona, not so much, and California. California is loaded with Spanish names because there are Spanish monks, etc. San Diego was actually founded by monks, okay, Spanish monks. Okay, I believe that we are also going to experience a type of exodus. An exodus from what? We're going to have to exit our inherited culture. The prophets say that we've inherited a ton of lies, we and our ancestors. The truth of the matter is we have too. That's not a theme that I would have known when I first came to Gainesville, Florida in 1967. Nobody talked about such things back then. But it is a theme that certainly in the last 10 years, it's become quite evident that we've inherited a lot of lies, that we've inherited a lot of non-truths, that we've inherited, you know, things from that's been passed on to us as if they were factual, when in fact they're not factual. And so it's interesting to me that how often I end up reading something and learning something and go, well, I didn't know that. I had no idea. And that's become even more so in this time. I believe we've been manipulated by cunning words. This is what the scripture says. Okay? The scripture says that the Pharaoh, at the time, 400 years after Joseph, decided that they were nervous about so many people living in Goshen. Goshen was not the capital. It is nice, fertile land, but, you know, it's great for cattle, but the Egyptians did not care for sheep. Let me say that again. The Egyptians did not care for sheep. They did not care for shepherds. They had other cattle, but not that cattle. In fact, they looked down upon shepherds. Okay, so they didn't really want any sheep around the city of the pharaohs, etc. No sheep allowed, okay? Other things, but no sheep allowed. And we have inherited, we've been born into this society. We've inherited what the society has held to its highest. But I believe that it's become evident that there have been a lot of words. You know, politicians are word people. So a lot of words, in that we have become oppressed and we have been given difficult taskmasters. The number one difficult taskmaster master is the IRS, which has no legal way to be. And you can't prove that, and no judge will allow that. But the IRS did not match that. That was not passed according to the way laws are passed in the United States. But it's where the politicians get money, so I believe that we become slaves to the rhetoric. Words, cunning words, rhetoric of the left-leaning politics in the last 33 years. However, the Almighty has given us a helpful insight in what he intends to do. He wants to bring about a revival. But you are not going to be able to just delegate and relegate a revival to a church and it be happening inside a closed building. You all stay right there and have your church right there in a closed building, and it doesn't matter to the rest of us. That doesn't actually fit the definition of ecclesia. And it doesn't fit the definition of the children that were said that they changed the world. So did they change the world by not interacting with the society? No, they interacted with the society. They weren't inside. They weren't in buildings. They were in houses and things like that. As Exodus began, chapter 2 is the first chapter that actually begins to detail what's going to happen and what is happening to the children of Israel. Okay? And so they do assign taskmasters, and they do enslave the children of Israel. Children of Israel were not slaves. Joseph, okay, the vice pharaoh of his time, and the pharaoh of that time, gave them full-fledged citizenship, full-fledged everything. They had some of the greatest land in the land of Egypt. They were free people, and they had been free for 400 years. How did they get enslaved? What's interesting is that they got enslaved by words. There was not an army that was sent over to. They just got enslaved by words. And the children of Israel at some point begin to realize this is not the way this is supposed to be. And they're uncomfortable, to say the least. Okay? And they cry out unto the Lord. At the end of Exodus chapter 2, here's what it says. During those days, it happened that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel groaned because of the work, and they cried out to the Lord. Their outcry because of the work went up to Elohim. If you've seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, then you get an idea that's magnified in the movie correctly, as they were enslaved. They were the ones who were building all those buildings and they had to bring the straw and bring the dirt and create the mud and do all of those things. It says that their outcry because of that work was so difficult because they were doing the work of slaves went up to Elohim. The scripture says the following. Elohim heard, the word there, Vayishma, which is from Shema, and it's conversive, so it begins with a V. Yishma is the future tense of the verb Shema. So it says, and he heard their groaning. That's how it's translated. Verse 24, chapter 2. And Elohim remembered. The word there is vayishkor. Okay? Sachar or sachar is the Hebrew word for remembering. Zechariah. Zechariah. Zechariah is Zechariah. It means, and God heard, right? And God remembered. So, Elohim remembered by Yishkor, his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Verse 25, Elohim saw. The word there is vayare, which comes from the word ro'eh, which is to see. And you put a yud in the front, okay, makes a third person future tense. That's how you put future. You take the verb and you add a yud in the front. That's how you make the future tense of third person future tense. So Elohim sees into the future, vayare, of the children of Israel. And Elohim knew. The word there is vayeda, which comes from yodea, which means to know. So he knew intimately. Yodea means intimate knowledge. So Elohim had intimate knowledge. This is Exodus 2, 23 to 25. In my view, I see parallels with the plight of the children of Israel. 400 years after arriving in Egypt, I also see the plight of us 249 years after 1776. We have similar things. We are supposed to be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So, some of the things. Is that true right now? America was founded as a covenant nation. Maybe we don't understand that because we don't actually spend much time learning what happened. But even in the Northeast, even in when they arrived from Europe and they arrived to the Northeast and they arrived into the area we call Virginia, into the area that we call Massachusetts. When they arrived there, okay, the people that arrived there made a covenant with the Lord. They set up something, they set up banners declaring that the Lord, he is God. This is where you get this idea that people were fleeing Europe to find religious freedom in the United States. And they found it, they took possession of the land that they landed on by pleading and saying to the Lord, this is your land. This is, we're going to do it your way here. Whether Adonai Elohim came and ratified that or not, I want you to know that I'm not the only one. In fact, among all of the prophetic world in the United States, of the opinion that all those things are still in effect and that the Lord has not forgotten his covenant. He didn't forget the covenant with the children of Israel. It says so right here. He remembered his covenant. He remembered, by his core, he remembered the covenant. That the Lord will remember the covenant that was made with this people. The reason the United States, the people, we're not the chosen people. And we're not trying to say we are the chosen people. But let me also tell you that the United States has been the great exporter of the Word of God. It is from here that the Bibles get sent around the world. It is here that people get trained to translate the Bible to every language. It is here among the believers, the Bible Belt, that so much goes on. All the people are sent. there's more people being sent from the U.S. to the mission field. Missionaries are trained and sent from here. Nobody else trains missionaries. Not Adonai's missionaries. It says in the Bible, in Psalm 102, verse 14, "You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her." Speaking of Zion, the appointed time has come. I've spoken on this before, so I'm not going to speak on it again. But the word favor there in Hebrew is the word hen. Hen. C-H-E-N. Hen. So it is come time for Adonai to show hen, okay, because the appointed time has come. I believe that's also true for Kol Simcha. Like at the end of chapter 2, we look, continue to read, and at the end of chapter 3, okay, here's what it says. Another words that are given by him, which represent what's going to happen, what is about to happen. So he's telling them in chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2, I'm going to act. I'm going to do, the Lord's been saying he's going to act with us for several years now. But it's become very important, 2026. In the scheme of things, this is a great year of importance. Who was going to believe that the U.S. would, for example, just last week, take Venezuela and take the awful guy that's been running that? Because I had many Venezuelan students that were professors that had been in Venezuela that came here to do education, and they ended up, three of them professors ended up with me doing PhDs with me. I've kept up with them. They were not able to go back to Venezuela. They had to move away because as professors, they were persecuted by the people. Here's what it says at the end of chapter 3, verses Exodus 3:21. "Then I, Adonai, will grant this people favor." It's that same word, chen. You know, there's a time to favor Zion, but here it says, "I will grant this people favor in the eyes of the Egyptians." Chen. So it will happen that when you go, you will not leave empty-handed. This is Exodus 3. No, this is not the Passover. This is not the year of the Passover. They're having a hard time. They're having a hard time. Adonai is saying, "I am going to take you out of here. And when you leave, you're not going to leave empty-handed." It's being said right here in Exodus 3:21. Now, when we jump to two times from now, in fact, the Parashat Bo, which is coming up, next one is Va'erah, then it's Bo. In Parashat Bo, not that far, 2 weeks from now, we will read about the first Passover, starting in Exodus chapter 12. But in Exodus 11 and in Exodus 12, here's what it says. Adonai gave the people favor, chen, in the eyes of the Egyptians. It says in Exodus 3, "I'm going to give you favor." But then in Exodus 11, it says, "I gave you favor." It says he did give them favor. And when they left, they did not leave empty-handed. That's going to happen. Jump to chapter 12, the chapter of the Exodus. Chapter of the Passover. At the first Passover, verse 3, okay? Verse 36, I'm sorry. Adonai gave the people favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. This is exactly what was said in Exodus 3 and exactly what was being reminded of in Exodus 11. In Exodus 12, "And let them have what they asked for." So he told them in Exodus 3, ask the people. When you leave, you ask. And they're so ready after the 10 plagues for them to be out of there that they ask, and they got way more than they bargained for. And it says, it's written in the book of Exodus, that way the children of Israel plundered Egypt. That word plundered means when you take over, when you conquer another place, you subdued the whole population and you take all their treasures. But this wasn't done by them. This was done by Adonai. With the 10 plagues, with the 10th plague being the death of the firstborn. And with the death of the firstborn, the Egyptians, they said to Pharaoh, look, buddy, you have been being whatever you are, whatever you've said. Are we going to all die? Are we all going to die? Is that what you want, everybody to die? Let those people go. We don't really want them here. Let them go. Now, the Yul Brynner doesn't play that part that well in the Ten Commandments, okay? I mean, he's concerned, and his wife comes in, and you know, and she taunts him because she actually, in the movie, she loved Moses. But when Moses killed somebody who was banged away, she had to marry the Pharaoh because she was promised to the Pharaoh. Actually, she was the one whose the lineage of the previous Pharaoh came through her in the movie. Okay, in the movie. So had she married Moses, he had been the Pharaoh. That's what implied there. Okay? It says, so Adonai gave the people chen, favor, in the eyes of the Egyptians, and they gave them whatever they asked for. In fact, they gave them more than they asked for. And it says, it's written right here, they plundered the Egyptians. They plundered the Egyptians. At the first Passover, on the day after the first Passover, on the day, it happened at midnight, on that day, they're leaving. And as they're leaving, they're asking, and the Egyptians gave them everything. They gave them gold. They gave them silver. They gave them blue. They gave them spices. They gave them onions. They gave them all kinds of stuff. Whatever. Here, take it and get out of here because it's not going to do me any good to keep the money if you guys hang around here and your God kills us all. Well, there was an appointed time for the children of Israel to receive favor. It wasn't at the beginning. It wasn't in chapter 3. It's prophesied in chapter 3, but it actually doesn't happen until chapter 12. Between there, about a year plus happens. Because Moses is sent to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh doesn't like it. You know, and they have these contests of snakes and things and all that. And eventually, you know, he gives the same message, being, let my people go. And he said, okay, you can go, but you can leave your wives here. No, the Lord wants everybody to go, wives and children. Okay, it wasn't like what Sam pointed out, that when Joseph went, they left all the women. All the women and children and cattle were left in Egypt when they went to the promised land to bury Joseph and to bury Jacob. Okay? That's not what happened. Okay? So the Egyptians go away, well, they're coming back. But Moses wants everybody to go, and the Pharaoh says no, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to get out of the work. Yes. Duh. So that whole thing gets played out in next week's parashat and in the following week part of it. It's about a year and a half. So a year and a half, just give and take a month here. In a year and a half, he prophesies in chapter 3. And a year and a half later, it's happening. Was it anything they did? What kind of army did the children of Israel rise up to plunder the Egyptians? I mean, they don't even know what's going on, to tell you the truth. It's like, Moses, what are we doing? Well, go in your house and don't come out. Do you think they're coming out? Because the angel of death is passing. Do you think they're coming out? How much time did they have to prepare for this? And no idea that the magnitude of the 10th plague. No idea. On that night, about 3 in the morning, the Pharaoh says, get out. In fact, the Pharaoh had already ordered Moses, the next time you see my face, you'll die. So he can't even send for him. Moses, come see the Pharaoh. He said, I would die if I, right? So he sent soldiers to go and fetch Moses. Okay? So they got in their Ubers and went over there to get him in the other city, right? And that happened in 3 seconds. I also want to know, how did they, when they got to Goshen, where is Moses? I mean, where is he? There's a sign, a sign like, you know, it says, Bobby's Hideaway, right? You don't remember Bobby's Hideaway? Okay. That Bobby's Hideaway, this Moses Hideaway. So they actually found him, and they don't just tell him, the Pharaoh wants to see you. He sent military people to fetch him, and they stuck him in there, and they took him to the Pharaoh. So it wasn't out of his own volition, right? He was forced to go there. And when he gets there, the Pharaoh says, I'm ordering you to get out of our land. This day. That's the order. This day. Well, it's 3 in the morning. That ain't gonna leave a whole lot of time. What's left of the day until the sun goes down? 3 in the morning until in the spring. 7 p.m., 6 p.m., y'all get out. And the only way you're going to get people out is that way. Because if it had been me and I had to come tell my wife, we're getting out today. She goes like, uh-huh. I got to get my makeup first. You would only understand that. You don't understand that, but I do. I'm speaking truth. To be concerned about her makeup and her hair products and things like that. And I'd be concerned about, we got to get out of here, sweetheart. I mean, we got to go. There's no cars or anything, so we got to load some sort of wagon. We don't even have a wagon. We'll have to make one. Honey, you're not going to be able to take your closet full of clothes. To pick out some clothes. Which ones do I pick? That's usually what a lady says. Which ones do I pick? You know, which colors? Let's see, it's spring, so I need spring colors. And I mean, a guy doesn't even know what's going on. He had no idea what you're talking about. They have no time. They've got to get out of there today. I don't know how how any husband survived. I have no idea how any husband survived. And I don't know how in the world the lady survived either, because it's like, just for us to pack to go to a conference in Orlando. My wife starts like a month ahead, and she starts packing, and when it's done, the day of, it's Exodus. We're taking everything. When we had kids, we had to take all kinds of rigmarole. You got to have the this for the kid and the bed for the kid. And, you know, so we didn't, you know, my daughter said they don't want a minivan. I didn't need any minivan. I needed a truck, a full-fledged panel truck, just to go to the conference. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. I shared last week that the book of Exodus, the book of Genesis demonstrates that the destiny of those four people were fulfilled. But we are to gain favor. The way that we're going to be able to do what needs to be done is the same way that was done here. We have to have Adonai grant us him favor. We don't get too excited about his favor. But he's not sending money. And he's not sending this. And he's not sending. The Bible says that he's sending favor. That we need favor to do what needs to be done. It is time. The time, set time has come for him to favor Zion. We're part of Zion. The time has come for us to be favored. So we need chen. I think that we need to treasure his favor, something we've never done. I think that we need to activate his favor in Kol Simcha. His favor is part of the last day's revival. And it is his pleasure to give it to us because the scripture says he will give it to us. And it will guide us to the next level in the same way that the children of Israel guided out of Egypt to the next level. And I'm not sure if they knew what they were going to be going through that they want to go. To go, pick up somebody and say, okay, we're going to cross the Red Sea. Oh, yeah? And then we're going to live in the desert for 40 years. You go ahead. I'm staying right here. If we get his favor and we understand it, then we will do the one thing that is most important to us. Delight in him. Psalm 32 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If we are delightful people, we will also be joyful people. So we will fulfill our destiny to be the Sound of Joy people, which we're not right now. We are the people who want to be the people of joy and gladness. When we become, have his favor, and become the people of joy and gladness, we will not only call the Shabbat a delight, right? You should call the Shabbat a delight and the Lord's glorious day honorable. It's in Isaiah 56, 58. But we ourselves will be his delight. Listen, I'm actually giving you the formula of what's about to happen. What's about to happen is the Lord's going to show us his favor. He's going to show us his favor. He's going to give us his favor. And when we begin to function in his favor, we'll become delightful people, delightful to him, because we will delight in him. So we will be delightful people, and he will give us the desire of our heart. I would like to say that we are moving towards becoming a delightful congregation. That means we're not right now. We are going to be. We're kind of delightful, but not really super delightful to him. We sing, we almost do a dance that we do almost all the time. And he quotes a scripture. Here's what the words say. Sim shalom tova uvracha. Chen vachesed verachamim. Aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael amecha. You go, I don't recognize that melody. That's a Siddur melody. The dance melody is Sim Shalom Tova Ubraha. Sim Shalom Tova Ubraha. Hen Vachesed Verachamim. The second verse, Aleinu Ve'alkol Israel Amecha. We are Israel, your people, Amecha. Sim Shalom. And then it says, Hin, Chen, Vachesed, Verachamim. Chen is favor. The word sim is interesting because sim means grant, not give. Grant. When you say that prayer, you're asking a sovereign to grant you peace, to grant you to your people, grant you chen, grant us chesed, which is grace, and grant us rachamim, which is mercy. That's what we sing. That's what we dance. The most sense we do here. It says grant peace, kindness and blessing, favor, charity, and mercy upon us and all Israel, thy people. Favor, charity, and mercy. The word charity is the word grace. So grant us favor, grace, and mercy upon all Israel, Amecha, your people. I believe that the Lord wants to do that. So that, would you join me? Would you join me? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to put in your mind the idea that perhaps he's going to give us grace so that we can become part of this revival? That he could give us grace so we become part of the revival. Then what's been prophesied about the revival? What is at the end of chapter 2? And what's at the end of chapter 3 in the revival? Well, among the things that is there is that we're going to be able to function in the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is going to be active among us. And that we're going to have the effects of the Holy Spirit being manifest, which includes healing, includes all kinds of things. I don't think it's an accident that video was sent to me. I don't send videos because last time I did this, I got texts, lots of texts. None of you, right? So it's not you. But I got texts saying, well, that's not a very good video, you know, etc. So it's like you get cold feet, so I better not share any videos. So this one was shared with me about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Man said, this would be great to send to the congregation. I said, yes, sure. And so I saw the video and immediately realized, oh my God, there's a formula here that I'm not using. And I began to look at that video and look at this statement, and he sent Psalms 107, verse 20. I know the psalm very well. Okay? And Adonai sent his word and healed them and delivered them from the pit. You say, well, I'm not in a pit. Oh, well, I guess I'm just the only one that was in a pit. I get in a pit every once in a while. How do you get that? Because of fear, anxiety, and all those kinds of things. It's a mental pit, but it's a pit nonetheless. And I don't know how to get out of that. I pray and all those things. But when that video came, it said, you need to understand that he sent his word. The word became flesh, Yeshua. And that Yeshua penetrates me, my head, my fear, my anxiety, and then he sends it away. And he not only is going to do that, but he's going to take me out of the pit. Oh, well, I'm the only one familiar with pits around here. So that's when you get in a rut. That's what we call a rut. And how many of you can say you get in a rut here and there? And how do we get out? Well, he sent his word, Yeshua, and healed them. That means mended them, put them back together. The word there is Rapha, which is one of his names. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh-Rapha. Okay? He sent his word so that he would perform the Rapha ministry, which is put us back together, but not going to leave us there until that's accomplished. He reaches out and pulls us out. You know what? I want that. I can't afford to get in no ruts right now. We don't have time for ruts. We don't have time. When we get into this revival for real, we don't have time. We don't have time for pity parties. We don't have time to try to wait for somebody to heal me. I can't just get myself to Mario Murillo so I can get healed. I need to do that with the Lord. The Lord's my healer. I'm Adonai who healeth thee. I'm Adonai your healer, is written. And it's time to activate that. Why is that going to work now? Because it's time for him to show his hand, his favor upon us, and for you to begin to experience that yourself. I want to have your faith built. It is not 2025 anymore, or 4, or 3, or 2, or whatever. We've entered a new season. We've entered a new time. The Lord wants to drop his favor. He wants to give us his favor. With his favors, we're going to be able to accomplish much. So it is an opportunity. This is the opportunity for you to get healed. I'm saying to you, this is the opportunity for you to get healed. And I'm not asking you to come to me. I send you the video so you can realize that the Lord himself can do that for you. And he wants to do it. He wants to do it. Let's stand. Be dismissed.